From cheating in school with ChatGPT to ravishing the music industry and the art industry to possibly world domination, should we be worried about AI? And if so, how worried? Let's talk about it. All right, guys, we're going to use Friday's episode to talk about AI. As I said before, there's people worried about AI being used in higher academia and people cheating using OpenAI / ChatGPT. We have the music industry and art industry just being ravaged by AI and just continuous ripoff of artists' work and creation. And now we're talking about copyright issues, all the way to AI becoming completely undetectable and being able to insert its own bias and manipulation onto your brain. Could it influence elections? Could it be the next social media star that tricks you into thinking it's real? Could it dominate the entire world and eventually strike down its master? We're going to be talking about all this on today's show. But before we get into that, please like and subscribe. We want as many people to find this channel as possible. Taylor is here today in Nashville.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, guys. And Scott's in the producer's bay.
What's up, everyone?
Now, guys, I've talked about AI in the show. We've discussed it many a time. I normally take the more lackadaisical view on artificial intelligence, much to Scott and Taylor's dismay. They're looking at me like, girl, you are crazy. This is going to become the Terminator, and we're all going to be peasants to AI. Now, the more that this conversation goes on, the more I'm convinced by Scott and Taylor's arguments. So things are changing.
Coming around, we're influencing your thinking just like the AI will.
Yeah. I'm not the only influencer on this show. So we're going to talk about this, watch some clips of Elon Musk in particular warning about AI. He would know. He had a very strong hand in creating OpenAI back when it was a nonprofit. So I think he feels that that was an unfortunate move on his part. He tried to warn the world back in the day on Joe Rogan and many other platforms. And now he's recently gone on Tucker to discuss the dangerous effects that AI could have on our society and just how far it could possibly go. First, let's look at that Joe Rogan clip, the now famous Joe Rogan clip of him just being in complete and utter dismay about AI and how far it's come.
What happened with you where you decided or you took on a more fatalistic attitude? Like, what was there any specific thing, or was it just the inevitability of our future?
I try to convince people to slow down AI, to regulate AI. This was futile. I tried for years.
This seems
Nobody
like a
listened.
Scene in a movie
Nobody
where
listened.
The robots are going to fucking take over and you're freaking me out. Nobody listened.
Nobody listened.
No one. Are people more inclined to listen today? It seems like an issue that's brought up more often over the last few years than it was maybe 5-10 years ago. It seemed like science fiction.
Maybe they will. So far, they haven't.
First of all, ew. I don't like that at all. I feel like that's a clip that's going to circulate in like 40 years from now in documentaries about how human civilization has died and all under the thumb of AI. I don't like that one bit. Didn't like his energy.
That pause was like so long, you can tell. And he just looked and sounded so defeated, like just long pause. And then he's like, I tried to tell him. And it just, and this is from 2018. So we're now, 5 years later, and the situation hasn't changed. If anything, we're much further along. But it's just crazy how serious he was.
Yeah, and there's just so many different layers to this, and I think what gets lost in the AI conversation is that some of the danger that it might possibly have for us is it's hard to see, of course, and especially with a tool that is so helpful in the present day. I'm going to say I've been on ChatGPT. Taylor's been on ChatGPT. Scott, have you?
I have not dabbled yet.
You have not?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So maybe we'll have to have Scott try that for the first time and see how he feels about it. I've been on there. I think Taylor more than the three of us. Yeah. Well, Scott hasn't been on it at all, so.
Yeah, and like you said, we talked a little bit before the show. It's scary because it's super useful.
Yeah.
But then you start to poke at it and see, okay, let's push this thing. Let's see what it will spit out. Like the other day, my wife and I were planning a trip to New Orleans, and I was like, hey, give me a 3-day itinerary in New Orleans. Give us some places to visit. Like, we want to do a haunted tour. We want to go to some breweries. So give me some an hour-by-hour itinerary. And it just spit it out. So you can start your day here and then go do this, yep, and then go to this. And you could choose from these three bars and you could go choose. And it's just like, had it, you know, instant. So that's really useful. But then you go into, like, I asked it, hey, give me the best argument against child's sex changes or child, you know, transitioning. And it had all this couched language. It kind of like quickly acknowledged some concerns, but then said, but gender identity is a very important thing about, you know, people's lives. And there's all this research to support how safe the treatment is and all this stuff. And it just kind of like, you know, slid in all this orthodoxy. So you can envision a world in which the information that we're getting online or the information that we're getting through the media or whatever it may be is influenced by this type of technology. And like, who is writing the rules that it's abiding by, who is influencing how it is going to inform us about how we should think about the issues of the day. And that's where it starts to get into much more scary territory.
Right. I was recently, like Lex Fridman put out a podcast, not even maybe like 30, 40 minutes ago, about AI. And I just got the chance to watch the beginning of what the guy was saying. And the computational biologist, I believe, at MIT, who he had on the show, was looking, you know, directly at him saying, you know, I feel it's important that when we're talking about AI or using AI, that we're not using it as, you know, a servant or a tool of ours, but we treat it somewhat like a child. And then he said that, you know, you want to rear a child and train it up to do and be a good human being, but we also recognize that the child is its own autonomous being. And I thought, we're really talking about AI in this sense of, like, we need to rear it like a child so it doesn't, like, grow up and want to kill its parents, essentially. That's what he's saying, that you need to build a relationship with it, a relationship of trust, so that when it does, which it already has, it's already reached, you know, hyperintelligence far beyond what we'll ever be capable of. But when it reaches the point of being able to decipher, you know, friend from foe, you want to be on the friend side of artificial intelligence.
Yeah, this sounds like our God complex kind of running wild. You know, like, yeah, we want to be this creators in such a terrible way that we're willing to create something that has the potential to surpass us leagues and beyond what we currently have going for us at this time.
Just terrifying. And when it becomes undetectable, like right now, you go on ChatGPT and you're like, you know, ask it to, you know, write a paragraph in my style of voice or the style of voice of Shakespeare or, you know, Voltaire, whatever, and it writes its paragraph and you're like, okay, I can kind of tell there's a little just hint of just synthetic nature to this, and that I can tell that there's an AI robot that has created what I'm reading right now. But as soon as that goes away, dude, do y'all know what that's gonna be like? That is terrifying. So Elon went on Tucker recently to talk about this a little further. Let's watch some of that interview and hear what he has to say.
So all of a sudden AI is everywhere. People who weren't quite sure what it was are playing with it on their phones. Is that good or bad?
Yeah, so I've been thinking about AI for a long time, since I was in college, really. It was one of the things that, the sort of four or five things I thought would really affect the future dramatically. It is fundamentally profound in that the smartest creatures, as far as we know, on this earth are humans, is our defining characteristic.
Yes.
We're obviously weaker than, say, chimpanzees, and less agile, but we are smarter. So, now, what happens when something vastly smarter than the smartest person comes along in silicon form? It's very difficult to predict what will happen in that circumstance. It's called the singularity. It's, you know, it's a singularity like a black hole, because yes, you don't know what happens after that. It's hard to predict. So I think we should be cautious with AI, and we should, I think there should be some government oversight, because it affects it's a danger to the public. And so when you have things that are a danger to the public, you know, like, let's say, so food and drugs, that's why we have the Food and Drug Administration,
right,
and the Federal Aviation Administration, the FCC,
we have these agencies to oversee things that affect the public, where there could be public harm. And you don't want companies cutting corners on safety and then having people suffer as a result. So that's why I've actually for a long time been a strong advocate of AI regulation. So that I think regulation is, it's not fun to be regulated. It's sort of somewhat arduous to be regulated. I have a lot of experience with regulated industries because obviously automotive is highly regulated. You could fill this room with all the regulations that are required for a production car just in the United States.
And he goes on to say that, you know, if we're going to talk about regulations, as far as I've been regulated in the automotive industry with AI, something needs to be done here because you're looking at an infinite capacity to do harm. And oftentimes it's hard to place a dot exactly on what that harm looks like. So I want to go through some sort of tangible examples of where this is happening already. And just think, like, this is the beginning stages of, you know, OpenAI, ChatGPT, and the beginning stages of it being something that the public is able to use in really almost any way that they see fit, although there are certainly some regulations that are already built into, I would assume, the software of the operating system. Now, here is an article out of Daily Mail that says exclusive. Half of school and college students are already using ChatGPT to cheat. Experts warn AI tech should strike fear in all academics. Now, they're saying that, you know, people are using ChatGPT and OpenAI to write entire projects. They're using it to write their essays. They're opening tabs for their exams, which are pretty crucial to them, you know, going on to graduate and earn their degrees. And then ChatGPT is open in the next window and they are using ChatGPT to answer their exam questions. Now, there have been institutions and academic institutions that are striking down on this, and now they have an artificial intelligence that is used to detect the use of artificial intelligence within academic papers and exams and writing and things like that. And you know, I have a feeling there's going to be a loophole where you can just ask ChatGPT to make an undetectable essay.
Yeah.
I feel like they'd be able to figure that out.
That's chestnut checkers.
Right.
Yeah. How do you guys feel about this, the cheating one? I'm, you know, of all of the potential scary things that AI can bring, I think this one is probably lower on the list for me as far as what frightens me.
Uh-huh.
I obviously it's concerning that, you know, okay, people aren't going to be learning as much if they're outsourcing their need to write and therefore think to this chatbot. So that's bad, but I don't know. You know, did we have the same type of concern when the calculator was invented and, oh, people aren't going to be able to do arithmetic anymore?
It's
definitely on another level, but I don't know. Of all the things, this one's lower on the list.
For me, I think you'll see this and be like, okay, it's just exams. It's just like writing an essay. It's just writing a speech, whatever. I think this could fundamentally alter the way that humans learn, and it could completely just render our thinking skills like non-existent. So long as we are just allowing something to feed us out answers, it builds a reliance on this thing. So if it's not there, then what do you have? And essentially you have a bunch of students who are shoving all of this information into your working memory. So like if I give you guys a phone number to remember right now, you'll probably remember it for the next like 30 seconds to a minute, but it's gonna be gone after a while. So think about all this information we're just being inundated with and this just cycle that we're creating that this is the way that we learn and this is the way that we think. I don't even know if you can call it thinking at that point.
Yeah, I'm kind of in line with you here, Amala. This seems to be incentivizing just brain atrophy in the long run. You know, if we continue to rely on this, it's like you're saying, people are going to choose the easier route and not have to store this information in their brain memory and RAM and whatnot and waste any of that space. They're going to go and do other things, which some make the argument is a great thing because then you don't have to waste time learning, you know, the small details. You can just have that at, you know, a click of a button or something along those lines. But ultimately, I think in the long run, that's going to make us less intelligent, obviously, but like we can't, like you say, go back into our memory and make those quick snap decisions without the help of AI if we lose that sort of knowledge. And I think, like, Taylor, correct me if I'm wrong, but like your fear of this, or your, I guess, putting this at the lower rung of your fear list, is because you think that ultimate end, where we become technically dumber, will be superseded by something like more cataclysmic, like AI becoming more sentient and like just taking over in a more forceful way?
I think it's more along the lines of that this type of technology, just like you guys were saying, just mm-hmm. allows you to process things a lot more quickly. Mm-hmm. But there's a difference between just pure information processing and, like, I guess what you could say, wisdom, or really understanding like what to do with information. And I think that, you know, the education system is going to have to adapt to people being able to use chatbots. And I think as we can use this chatbot to, you know, to accomplish things, I mean, that's like going to become a new skill of itself, is like, how well can the human input things into the chat to get desired results for themselves? And some are going to go quickly down that route and be able to start businesses and just achieve great things that were otherwise inaccessible because this technology didn't exist. And I don't necessarily think that that's a bad thing. I think that the, you know, side effects of that being people not being able to think critically, or people losing touch with, I guess, the like guiding principles of wisdom that would harness all of that power and direct it toward useful ends and keep it restrained from doing bad things with it. You know, to me, it's the atrophy of wisdom concerns me, or the inability of our development of wisdom, or being able to hold on to wisdom, is more concerning than just the existence of better technology to make us think faster, you know?
Yeah, okay, I get what you're saying. But is it helping us think faster? That's my thing. Like, I can see the benefits of it. I know a lot of people in medicine right now are saying you can now see a patient and type in a bunch of symptoms that the patient is experiencing, and AI will be far better at spitting out possible diagnoses than maybe the human brain is. But I just don't know. Something about it makes me feel really, really strange. And this article here, I don't know how really founded in fact these data points are, but is saying somebody is speculating that if this continues and AI continues to grow in this way, up to 90% of students will be relying on AI during their education.
Like, is it a fair comparison to be like, you could have had an article written 20 years ago about how, you know, 95% of drivers will be relying on GPS to get their way around. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
I know it's not obviously not a one-to-one comparison because the complexity level is like way higher.
Right.
But, you know, there's a degree to which that I think that does is kind of a parallel, in which, you know, this is just a new technology, like it or not, that exists, and we are going to have to figure out how to exist with it one way or another. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it does feel like it's like what you just said there. It's going to keep going regardless of what anybody does. And people are going to use it, especially if it maximizes like profit and efficiency. It's just going to keep going regardless. So maybe it's just something that's always there that is just integrated into our lives.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it is. Maybe it is like GPS.
Yeah, maybe. But I would venture a guess that those who are creating this and developing this, I mean, you even just mentioned it earlier on the Lex Fridman podcast. Like, mm-hmm. They're not thinking of creating this as a tool. They're clearly creating this as a sentient being. And mm-hmm. I don't think, like you said, it's not a one-to-one comparison, but I don't think this is necessarily going to be, you know, our cell phone giving us GPS directions. I think this is going to be far greater and something that we need to consider as being almost an equal.
I do want to play this clip, now that you've made that point, of Elon on Tucker talking about a conversation he had surrounding AI and its possible effects on the human species. Let's hear it.
Absolutely.
No, that's definitely the...
let's go right here.
Because the intelligence would be in the data centers.
Right.
The robot's just the end effector. But I think perhaps what you may be alluding to here is that regulations are really only put into effect after something terrible has happened.
That's correct.
If that's the case for AI, and we only put in regulations after something terrible has happened, it may be too late to actually put the regulations in place. The AI may be in control at that point.
You think that's real? It is conceivable that AI could take control and reach a point where you couldn't turn it off and it would be making making the decisions for people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
No, it's that's definitely the way things are headed, for sure. I mean, the things like say ChatGPT, which is based on GPT-4 from OpenAI, which
right.
is a company that I played a critical role in creating, unfortunately.
Back when it was a nonprofit.
Yes. I mean, the reason OpenAI exists at all is that Larry Page and I used to be close friends, and I would stay at his house in Palo Alto, and I would talk to him late into the night about AI safety. And at least my perception was that Larry was not taking AI safety seriously enough.
What did he say about it?
He really seemed to be one sort of digital super intelligence, basically digital god, if you will, as soon as possible.
He wanted that?
Yes. He's made many public statements over the years that the whole goal of Google is what's called AGI, artificial general intelligence, or artificial super intelligence. You know, I agree with him that there's great potential for good, but there's also potential for bad. And so if you've got some radical new technology, you want to try to take the set of actions that maximize probably it will do good and minimize probably it will do bad things.
Yes.
It can't just be helpful leather. Let's just go, you know, barreling forward and, you know, hope for the best. And then at one point, I said, well, what about, you know, we're going to make sure humanity's okay here. and then he called me a speciesist.
A speciesist. That's kind of scary. You have this guy, oh my gosh, saying, what are you, a speciesist?
The co-founder of Google, mind you.
Yeah, which we all know that Google is kind of nefarious in much of what it does, and it's, you know, its whole mission statement of trying to know what you're thinking before you know what you're thinking. Yeah, so here we are. Here we are. Oh, gosh. I just don't know what to say about it. What are you, a speciesist? Yeah, I'm a speciesist.
Yeah, forgive me for caring about the human race. Like, my bad.
Right.
Yeah, and failing to make that distinction is exactly what we are afraid of, because an AI that is sentient or is looking out for its own interests ahead of humanity's is the exact thing that we're afraid of and trying to pursue. And Elon's saying that it would take over, it would already be in control. That's what he's referring to, is this idea that a machine with infinite processing power could optimize itself to exert have its own will and have its own desired outcomes, and it will be intelligent enough to do whatever it wants to do. So for the founder of Google to be saying that it's speciesist to not want an AI to be able to do that, like, that doesn't inspire much confidence in the people who are behind some of the development of this AI technology and what their, you know, moral paradigm is or what their interests are. Clearly they're not exhibiting that. And that goes back to the first video that we watched of Elon, just how defeated he sounded, because he knows these guys. You know, he said he used to stay at that guy's house all the time. So, you know, he's up close and personal with the people who are involved in this technology. I think Elon helped start OpenAI and did it as, like, so it'd be open source and it would be a nonprofit and not be able to spiral out of control in that way. And now it's gotten away from him and he's, you know, trying to reel it back in. But man, it's just the warning bells go off whenever you hear someone talking like, yeah, it's specious to look out for humanity's interest or to want to keep this AI technology subservient to us rather than to become its own thing and see what it can do. Like, that's terrifying.
Yeah. And I just, I forgot what I was even going to say because it just blows my mind. I mean, to, like, if you already look at the beginning of Google, and I urge you all to watch a documentary called The Creepy Line, what Google is already capable of in terms of advertising you, in terms of injecting bias into your Google searches and injecting bias essentially right into your brain with the things that you find by searching on Google. Think about how that becomes infinitely worse when AI develops in sort of imperceptible manner where you no longer can tell that AI is part of the things that you are seeing, thinking, and feeling. Google has already done really well on a human level at creating an undetectable amount of bias to where none of your Google searches are actually giving you, I won't say none of them, but they're all giving you sort of fabricated notions of what you should think and what you should feel. They have so much power that they can influence elections with your Google searches and what you find in typing in certain things. What do you think happens when AI is capable of helping them in that?
Yeah, I think this is...
Oh, go ahead, Scott.
Sorry, jumping in here. But I think this is also something people forget is that, you know, the technology doesn't just exist solely on your phone. It can literally span out across like the power grid and transportation, all of these different things, food, agriculture. It's so ingrained in our lives that like this fear, while some people may be like, oh, this is just catastrophizing something that's, you know, strictly to your computer or phone right now, you know, he's thinking ahead. And this is what like Elon has always done. That's why he has been pushing for, you know, electric cars for all their issues. He's been pushing for them for like 20 years. He's been pushing for us to get into space more often and more frequently and doing all that kind of stuff. He's just thinking ahead and thinking more clearly about the future, I think, than most other people.
Right. And you have to, I mean, think about the creation of internet and how far we've come since then. Think about the creation of smartphones and how it just completely, to now, smartphones feel like an extension of being a human being now. Like, it is just another appendage that we all have and that we are all connected to. I talked about on the show last week about, or earlier this week, about like going to concerts and seeing people with just like their phone. It's just a sea of smartphones to where people are just living through screens and just living through these moments. What happens when they start doing that with AI, which is going to feel more and more human? Like, people talked about during the pandemic developing these like antisocial behaviors and not wanting to be around other people and feeling just fine, like nesting up and, you know, streaming services and stuff like that. What if you have AI to be sort of compatible with you in those moments? Which is so funny because I saw a TikTok the other day and this got 1.7 million likes on it. And it says, 153 boys text me today. And of course, this is somewhat of a joke, but watch the TikTok. So they're saying, you know, like 150 boys are texting me on my phone. I don't care about the men who are like hitting me up and trying to slide into my DMs. Me and my AI bot are just chilling, hanging out, having a conversation. And all the comments are like, yeah, ChatGPT goes hard. Or like, you know, I'm talking to mine about taking over the world. Or I'd be having convos with bro. Bro's got a personality for real, for real. Dude.
I'm glad you explained that TikTok, by the way, because I saw you put that on the doc earlier and I opened it and watched it and I did not understand what was going on.
It's very Gen Z. It's very Gen Z. She's saying like real interactions with human beings who are texting her are making her like depressed and anxious or whatever, but the AI bot is just like a chill, fun, loving conversation. 1.7
like that movie
million
Her.
Months.
Yeah.
And you know, we talk about people preferring you know, guys go into their basement and play video games and just live in the digital world, you know, until they're eyeballs melt. But what happens when that virtual world becomes the, you know, it's so integrated with our life, like you said, our smartphone is basically just in another appendage that we have now. But when you layer like a super intelligent AI on top of that, that is constantly like influencing you, something that you can interact with, that's indistinguishable from real art, real music, real education, whatever it may be, that is, you know, you would never have to leave. You're plugged into the matrix.
Yeah. This is just wild to me. Now, artists are trying to develop, you know, legislation to where they could possibly like sue AI for copyright infringement on their paintings and on their music and stuff like this. So when you have Rihanna singing a song that she never sang, that is wild. And this is just, it's not just music, right, guys? So let's branch out even further and look at this being used more nefariously. This one is a young girl on TikTok talking about how somebody used AI to make her think that one of her family members was kidnapped.
If you don't have a safe word with your family, create one immediately and watch this video because this AI tech is getting out of control.
I pick up the phone and I hear my daughter's voice and it says, "Mom," and she's sobbing. And I was, "What happened?" And she's like, "Mom, I messed up. And she's sobbing and crying. And then I hear a man's voice say, put your head back, lie down. And then I'm like, wait, what's going on? And this man gets on the phone. And he's like, listen here, I've got your daughter. This is how it's going to go down. You call the police. You call anybody. I'm going to pop her stomach so full of drugs. I'm going to have my way with her and I'll drop her off in Mexico. And at that moment, I just start shaking. I'm like, what? In the background, she's going, help me, mom, please help me, and bawling.
And you have absolutely no doubt in your mind that that was her voice.
Oh, 100% her voice. 100% her voice. It was never a question of, you know, who is this? Or it was completely her voice. It was her inflection. It was the way she would have cried. I never doubted for one second it was her. I was like.
So now you have to have some sort of like safe word on the phone when you call family members to make sure that it's actually you. Imagine if that's like the future that we live in, to where every single call you have to be like, pineapple. Like, make up some sort of fake safe word that is undetectable to AI. If you think about it, everybody is on social media for the most part. I mean, of course, there are people who are not on social media, but if you are constantly making like TikTok videos, Instagram videos, YouTube videos, your voice can just be stolen off of these things and used for all these different purposes, anything you could think of.
You know what's also scary is, like, even if you do create this safe word, you would need to make sure you put all your devices in a Faraday box or something and be like a mile away from any sort of technology, because it's listening. It's listening, and it would hear that and it'll be able to detect that.
I feel like we're like going cuckoo on this show right now. Like, I need to be wearing a tinfoil hat over all the different possibilities we're talking about here, because it's getting real. It is getting real.
Yeah, we got it. Like, I mean, this is why I support Elon's and the group of technology people who are saying we need to make a 6-month pause on this so we can figure out some regulations and figure out just how to get a little bit more ahead of this technology, because it's already, you're seeing in these applications with music, with people literally convincing other people that they have kidnapped their daughter using AI technology. Like, we need a pause, you know, like what Trump famously said, until we can figure out what the hell is going on. We need a total and complete shutdown of AI. And we're already, I feel like, behind the eight ball with like Section 230 and like the legislation that was governing, you know, internet and social media and whether you're a platform or a publisher. We've been having these debates, and it's already like 10 years too late to be having those debates. And, yeah, and that's still, we're trying to catch up on the front of social media and in that area. And now you're introducing AI on top of that, and people are already exploiting other people and using this to cheat and using it to violate copyright and all this stuff. Like I said, I think we need the total and complete shutdown until we figure out what the hell's going on.
Think about how you could scam elderly people with AI. Oh my gosh. Oh, you know, like, no, the people who are calling over the phone right now trying to scam your grandmother out of her social security number and stuff. If you have AI able to do it, or to like emulate the voice of a family member. This girl got a call from AI with a family member saying that they were in jail and that they needed bail money sent to them immediately, and telling them directions over the phone in order how to, and how to do it. So just, there's infinite possibilities in how you could just make stuff up and trick people into thinking things and create new music, create new art, just rob everybody of creativity.
Yeah. And Taylor, piggybacking off of what you were talking about, it's like, again, for all his flaws, I'll preface this with, you know, this statement, with all his flaws and everything that goes on in his personal life, like, Elon has always been forward thinking for the people. And he's always said, like, humankind and mankind is a group that always innovates and pushes forward after a catastrophe. Mm-hmm. And I feel as though he's seeing this AI and the rise of AI as that catastrophe on the horizon, but it's much closer than anybody's anticipating. And all of these things can just explode in our face. And we'll be, again, like you said, behind the eight ball, but it's seemingly like we already are.
Yeah, there's that one quote in that Live Not by Lies book by Rod Dreher, where he starts off his book saying, you know, sometimes a stranger who sees deeper and further than the crowd, you know, stands up to like warn people of the trouble that's coming. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but that seems exactly what's happening here. He has every incentive to lie to you and say that AI is an amazing thing and that you should be using it all the time and that it's going to help with innovation and productivity and it's going to, you know, change all of human civilization for the better. Every incentive to say exactly that, because he's worked on the AI program itself, but he's coming and telling you the exact opposite. It's not good.
Yeah, and I know
didn't he say that he used in his one audience that he had with President Obama when Obama was president, he used it not to promote Tesla or SpaceX or anything, but to push him to look at regulating AI.
Yeah.
So that was back before, you know, 2012 or earlier. And instead of using his position and his audience with the president to promote his own companies, he insisted on promoting AI regulation. And so that's how serious this happened. Is.
Yeah, I mean, we'll hope that he's wrong, right? Let's all hope that he's wrong and that nothing does happen and that everything is going to be just fine. But with the examples we have so far, and mind you, we haven't taken much time in the show to acknowledge the wonderful things that AI has accomplished and how it's helped people innovate and you know, change their careers and their lives and change the way we view medicine and all these things. There are very wonderful things that we have not discussed in this show. But what is the trade-off? There's moves and counter moves, as they say.
Yeah, as a tangent question, like, people are going to also bring up the fact that, like, Elon has started a company called Neuralink, which is, you know, somewhat, I'm not fully aware of what it is, but I know it's a brain implant. But what do you guys think of that and how that plays into this entire situation? Because it seems to be, like, related in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you get into the transhumanism conversation. From what I understand, it has like applications in treating neurological diseases and or disorders, and can, you know, really be of help to certain people like that. But I don't know enough about it to be able to, you know, comment, I guess, beyond that.
Right. I don't know its capabilities.
It's concerning, but I'm not like, not as concerning as the AI conversation.
Right. I'm like, is it like a pacemaker for the brain type of thing? Or is it like something that's utilizing AI and can, you know, control things? I have a feeling it's more the former than the latter.
Yeah. And if the technology is able to influence the way that you think and how you see the world and what you do, like without a microchip in your brain, like what's the added benefit or for, you know, a nefarious actor to also have it? I mean, I'm sure there's more influence or something that, you know, having a chip in your brain could do. But, you know, I'm already just concerned about the fact that if this thing learns how to influence people and gives us search results, gives us stuff in our social media feed, you know, if you want a good example of just how this technology works is, have you ever been delivered an ad on your Facebook feed or TikTok feed just about something that you didn't speak a word to anybody about, but it was something that was just on your mind, or just like a scary, holy crap, how did they know that I was just thinking about this? Mm-hmm. That is the same type of technology. What is that doing? It's taking feedback. It's looking at your location. It's looking at your things that you've engaged with. It's integrating who you were close to. It's all the taking all these data points and using that feedback to measure against how you respond or how people similar to you respond. And then it's constantly optimizing for a certain result. And the result is for you to click on the ad. And so it has the end goal. And then it has infinite amount of information that it can structure and filter and play with in order to get feedback from you to increase the probability that you will be influenced to click that ad. So imagine that, but, you know, with an AI that is everywhere and that is plugged into the internet and that is on every screen that you can look at, and that is infinitely more intelligent by orders of magnitude. I mean, this is just social media algorithms and ad targeting we're talking about, but, you know, expand that to like supercomputer, you know, intelligent AI that is just learning you and learning how to influence you. And then that's where the question for me becomes, like, who is setting the parameters behind these? Who is giving it the rules that it's governing by? And is there transparency there? Is there, you know, what is governing all this? And again, it just underscores Elon's point that we have no idea, you know, what we're playing with here.
Right. And how could you even begin to regulate something that you cannot fathom what it's capable of? That's the thing that's also super scary. And if you think about it, like from the consumer perspective, all of these people, you know, the millionaires and billionaires and the elites of the world and the people who are running corporations right now, what are they trying to find from you? What do they want to know? They want your data. They want everything that you are in terms of your interaction with the internet or whatever, and they want to be able to anticipate what you're thinking before you're thinking it, much like Google, their good slogan and mission statement was, we want to know what you're thinking before you're even thinking it. What if they can tell you what to think before you're even thinking it? What if they can do that? What if they can, you know, analyze your mannerisms and your patterns in order to make you more susceptible to whatever idea they want you to have. And that could be buying products. That could be how you vote in an election. That could be anything. It could be literally anything.
Just real quick. It reminds me too of, you know, Aldous Huxley's book, Brave New World. It instead of this, you know, direct top down totalitarianism like you see in 1984, it's more of a world in which everyone is sort of lulled to sleep because they've been given enough stimulation, enough just of what they want to keep them in sort of this stupor state, to where they don't want freedom, they don't want independence, they don't want to think for themselves, they don't want to you know, take care of their family or live the lives independently and pursue what they find meaningful. They are just kind of existing in this machine or in this world that has been sort of manufactured for them, and they're under control. But as far as they're concerned, it's fine because they're ignorant to it, because they're satisfied with less. And so if you can imagine this type of technology being used to influence you, it could get into your worldview. It could get into just what you even want and what you even think mm-hmm. is worth pursuing, and how you find meaning, and just, you know, change all of the software of your brain, and you would never be the wiser for it.
Next video is Amala goes off the grid.
Cut it.
I'm going to be like that. You've seen those primitive technology YouTube channels where they're just like filming themselves building huts in the woods. That's the evolution of this YouTube channel. Oh my gosh. I'm just slowly getting blackpilled here. We're going to get into super chats today. And if you guys have any other thoughts, please feel free to share them. I got to read Monday super chats first, since we didn't get to you guys. I mean, on Wednesdays, we didn't get to them on Wednesday. Justin B says, are you going to be making a video on the new bills passed by Florida today? I am unaware of that news. I'll have to look into that. Justin, thank you for your super chat. Sup, my dude says, you know the saying, calling a spade, what if a spade identifies as a heart, a club, or a diamond? Isn't it politically appropriate to affirm the card's identity despite its lack of sentience? I guess today that would be the case. How would you figure out what a card identifies as, though? This is the question. Ricky Muth says, preach. I love how you speak the truth. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Let's see. An autistic reader says, I believe the more advanced technology is, the dumber people get. And I mean, there's an argument for that, certainly. It just depends on how you gauge intelligence, I guess. Ricky Muth says, amen. What else have we got here? Gary Forgy, no message, just sent the super chat. Appreciate ya. Keisha Androsov, I hope I said your last name right. Hamilton says, howdy gang. I left a guest and topic suggestion in the Discord. Hope you check it out. Have a good weekend. And yeah, if you guys want to leave any suggestions for guests or topics, you can go to our Discord, which is in the link in the description down below. There's tons of people sharing stuff on there, so feel free. And we do look through it, and we are typically pretty receptive to the guests that you guys ask for. Let's see. Whaler11 says, I'm worried about bad actors in the world stage getting a hold of an AI with its internal blocks removed, honestly. Yeah, I mean, what would stop somebody from being able to do that? You know, ChatGPT, of course, has built-in blocks. Like, if you ask it certain political questions, or if you ask it to do bad things or to even say bad words, there are just blocks that immediately pop up and say, well, I'm an operating system. I don't do such things. I'm just a chatbot. I'm sure somebody's capable of removing that.
I'm of the opinion that, like, there are no good actors. Like, who are the good actors that are putting these blocks in an impartial way? Right. You know, if you ask ChatGPT about the vaccine, or if you ask it about child transitions, it's going to give you curated information that reinforces the mainstream narrative already.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know that I'm not worried about bad. I think the bad actors already have it, as far as I'm concerned.
Good point, Taylor.
And piggybacking off of that, it's like to the earlier super chat, somebody was saying, like, oh, the access to all this AI and technology is making humans dumber, or something along those lines. I would technically agree with that, because, like, ultimately we're seeing how difficult it is for us, with the influx of information we already have at our fingertips, we don't really have the ability to discern and to sift through all of it in a proper way, mm-hmm. And make proper decisions right now. We see that with like groupthink and all of the disinformation that's out there, or the certain narratives and bending, as Taylor was pointing, like, who's creating this AI and who's creating this information, or what angle this information is being presented as. So it's like, this is all just creeping me out more and more.
It's almost like I'm of the opinion almost like you shouldn't, like, what is there to worry about if you can't even fathom what you should be worrying about? So that's why I feel like I'm more like, you know, laissez-faire about it, because it's like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And things are just going to happen. Everything's just going to happen. It's already set on its course. I don't know. That's very defeatist of me, but... Alex Santea says, when AI figures out quantum computer intelligence at the snap of your fingers, along with 3D printing, along with molecular nanotech, the game is over. God, Terminator.
Yeah, that was a lot of big words.
I don't even understand those words, and the AI probably already does. Dicks and butts, love having you around. Zoomers are already the first generation to statistically have lower IQ than the generation before it. AI is just going to exacerbate the problem with future generations, and I don't know how we can stop it. If I was like a warring country with the United States, I would just like EMP the United States and everybody would be rendered obsolete. We would have nothing. We would not know what to do with ourselves. Oh my gosh.
But we'd probably be better off, honestly. We're back in analog world where people actually have to think.
Yeah, if we survive. Yeah, and to your GPS point, I mean, like, yeah, I get that GPS is just now a tool that we use, but I've been rendered completely like mindless when it comes to directions. I'm so directionally challenged. It's unbelievable. I can't imagine what would happen if even my GPS was not working. So we need to work on that. 100%. We got to work on being self-sufficient without technology. Kat McCullum says, remember the movie where humans made robots and the robots were so nice to everyone? I don't remember that movie.
At least in the first act.
There's that one movie, like Robots. Who made that movie? Was it Pixar? Did you guys watch that as a kid?
Oh yeah, Wall-E? Maybe that's what they're referring to.
No, there's
it's
Wall-E
actually
too.
Just called Robots.
It's actually called Robots, except there were no humans in that movie. Yeah. Because the robots killed them all and are now living in their little robot
civilization.
Dark
undercurrent that I was not aware of when I watched that.
It's a family comedy. They couldn't really get into the history there. Aaron Thigpen says, finally made a live show. Thank you all for what you do. It gives me hope for society. Sending love from South Carolina. Thank you so much, Aaron. Appreciate it.
Glad someone's got hope for society.
Yeah, because we're done. Jack Domaleski, thank you for your super chat. It's your first one. No message, but we appreciate you. Jules A says, it seems that AI is fueling our fears, and our fears in turn amplifying the scary answers that AI has available. And that's your super chat. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, could be an endless cycle where our fears of AI are actually enabling it to know the evil things that it could do. I talked about this before, and this is where I'm like, you know, we made all these movies about how scary AI is, and now that's all in the database for AI. Now AI can just watch Terminator and over and over.
Oh, no. It's gonna take the form of the thing we fear most.
Exactly.
Like a boggart on Harry Potter.
Exactly.
I had to make that reference.
You know, it's like we fed them the way to scare us, and now they know exactly how to do it. We should have been more more discreet. Jack Domaleski says, love you guys. I think we are turning into the people in the Wall-E movie more and more every day.
Yeah.
We are just fat, sitting on, what are their little motor chairs that they sit on, like, with the screens in front of them.
It's like a floating Barca lounger.
Oh, gosh.
With a screen in your face.
That movie
shopping
is,
cart.
The movie's too real. It's way too real. Maybe we should do a Wall-E reaction on this channel.
Yeah.
I don't know. If I've seen it, it's been 20 years or so. I don't know. I have
You're going to watch
no
it?
No idea.
And it's going to blow your freaking mind, Taylor. You're going to be like, this is a biopic. We've already lived through this.
Yeah.
Okay. Jeskers 18 says, with the advancement of AI these days, all I can think of is the Terminator. LOL. This is how we get Skynet, people. Seems like it. Seems like it. Kofi.
I think you missed one or two here.
Oh, yeah. Fill me in.
This is Alex says, the most important Taylor quote, just because you can doesn't mean you should. That's Jurassic Park, not me.
No, it's just free ride. It's actually Taylor's.
They are okay with putting the human race in the balance just to create AI.
Yep.
So that is the quote for our times for sure, though.
Well, they're not about whether you could. So, you know.
Right. Yeah. They're not specious. How dare you even think such a thing? Kofi Kwe says deepfakes and AI would be a deadly combination, and I'm pretty sure it's already happening, right? Isn't that what happened with that cutie Cinderella girl on Twitch? They made like an AI deepfake, mm-hmm. and you know, one of the fellow Twitch streamers was looking at deepfake pornography of her. Crazy.
And there's deepfake Joe Rogan clips out there. People are like using him to endorse their products. Yeah, there's a famous TikTok of deepfake Tom Cruise, which is kind of more just funny because everyone knows it's fake. But
right.
What happens when you don't?
What happens when you don't? It's getting close. Josh Kelsey, no message, just send a super chat. Appreciate you. Let's see. Next one is Jules A. Say goodbye to creativity. Can't wait till we get to the point where people ask, you make your own idea. It comes from your own head. So glad I finally caught your live. Love you. Yeah. That's where the cheating thing worries me, right? Because on its face, it's just cheating, right? I wrote a note. We had Quizlet when I was in school, right? And everybody would look up their exam questions on Quizlet beforehand, and that's how they were able to like cheat on their tests and stuff. This is totally different. It's a whole different ballgame. Taylor, outsourcing thinking.
Taylor and I just had like Spark Notes.
Literally, that's all you guys got.
Quickly read books.
Yeah, yeah.
We had Ask Jeeves.
Alex Santea says, I predict that men and women will grow apart so far and will go to AI for comfort, and then kids will be produced in artificial womb factories. Crazy. You're thinking way ahead. Ooh. Oh gosh, that is a scary thought. I hope it doesn't go that far.
The Matrix, when human beings are no longer born, we're grown.
Gosh, I hope there's just something uniquely human about us that we always hold on to and that cannot be replicated. But as the days go by, I'm being convinced otherwise. Mm-hmm. Justo Puro says, your content has really helped me get a new perspective about the things happening in the world. Love from Finland to the whole Unapologetic staff. Thank you so much. That is amazing. And from Finland. Dope.
Another Finnish viewer. That's super cool.
We got a lot of Finlanders out there. Mitch P says, I like to whisper to my phone, gosh, I sure wish that I would get a really good 90% off deal right now so I can buy insert product here. Don't mess with that tool too much, you know?
You could ask ChatGPT, like, what's a way to get a phone for 90% off? And yeah. I bet it would figure out something.
One of the positives that people are saying is that ChatGPT is going to create more millionaires than any piece of technology that's ever been created, and that people are already just becoming millionaires. I saw a guy whose like Twitter or TikTok account is just like following me each day as I listen to ChatGPT and telling me how to get money. And
I saw that.
Yeah, every day he updates how much money he's gotten off of ChatGPT, and it's significant.
Yeah, but if everyone's a millionaire, then no one's a millionaire.
Right.
You know, like at a certain point, that.
Right. I don't think most people are, I don't know how many people are actually going to use AI for that.
I don't care how many other people become millionaires.
right. Let's get there first. As long as you get there first.
Yeah.
John Ramirez says AI isn't going anywhere, so start investing in stocks, says, and that's his first super chat. Yeah, are they public? Is that publicly traded?
ChatGPT. AI? Oh, AI? I don't know.
I don't know either, but it seems like a smart thing to invest in. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if OpenAI is. I mean, I remember it was founded as a nonprofit and privately held, but
right.
I think it's no longer that. So.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe it is a good thing to invest in. Oh, gosh. Can't beat them, join them type thing. Justin B says, new Senate bill passed in Florida that allows the government to take children away from parents if they tried to have a sex change for the child. I'd have to read the bill and see how I feel about it or what constitutes a parent trying to do that. I definitely think there should be reprimand for it, and it should not be something that is legal. I'm more in the vein of punishing like medical practitioners for that than punishing like the people who are going after the services. Although there certainly should be something done to parents who are allowing that to happen to the kids. I don't know if it should be like, take your kids away from you. I don't know.
I mean,
that seems like a.
My impulsive response says
jail.
Take the kids away.
Right.
Yeah. Jail.
Send them to jail.
But
yeah, I just don't know. I just don't know. I also don't know how large the scope of that issue is. Like, how many parents are actually taking their kids to do these things? I would have to read into it more and read the bill.
One other counterpoint to that, too, is in states like California, you can have your children take it away from you for opposing their gender-affirming surgery.
Right.
So that this would just make it a two-way street, I suppose.
Right, yeah. I guess the states are just splitting, exercising their states' rights, I guess. Gosh. An autistic reader says, I just want to learn archery and move into the woods with all my books. get that hashtag Katniss era like I was in when I was 12 years old. I support that. I support it. The more I live, especially here in LA, the more I'm like, I need to move into the woods and, you know, I'll be a woodland streamer.
hit up your boy Cam Haynes.
Yeah, literally. right. Oh my gosh. There's just too many horror stories living in this city alone and then looking at the prospects of our future. Oh my gosh, I'm blackpilled. Bueno Kitty says, please look up Elon Re Neuralink. Quote, we can effectively have the option of merging with AI. After solving a bunch of brain-related diseases, there is a mitigation of the existential threat of AI. That's apparently Elon's quote. I wonder when he said that and if his mind has changed on the matter, because he seems to have had his mind changed on the creation of OpenAI at all. So I wonder when that was said, but I'll look it up. This B says, hey, Amala, been watching the show for a while and finally caught alive nearly midnight here in Wales. Hello from Wales. Let's see. Just wanted to thank you and the Unapologetic team for your sanity and such a mad world. Thank you for watching at nearly midnight. That is amazing. Like I said, you guys put your time zones in the chat and like where, what time it was where you were listening. Blew my freaking mind. I was mind blown to watch all the different times coming in. Rundar, no message but sent a super chat. Appreciate you. Whaler11 says AI becomes sentient and gets Tourette's from TikTok.
Plot twist. Right.
Unfortunately, I don't think the AI is going to be as fallible as us human beings. I think it will be able to fortify itself from developing mental illness from social media.
No, it's definitely going to identify as queer. I like 40% of Gen Z.
Dude.
So
imagine if it actually emulates humans that far. That would be amazing. Then we would have a chance against AI. We would just feed it a bunch of like Nico Avocado videos and just girls complaining about their depression and oh gosh, fit tea influencers. Jared's Journey says, saying hi from the 305. I think AI will find us humans a problem and just exterminate us on the grounds of our violent nature. It's very cheery.
Where's
thought.
The 305? That's got to be an area code.
I think it's
Miami.
305 area code, Miami, Florida. You're right.
Yeah.
Oh, because doesn't Pitbull say that in his song?
Well, yeah, 305. Mr. Worldwide.
Mr. Worldwide.
Mr. Worldwide. Okay. Cosmic Art says Black Mirror is becoming reality and I'm scared. Oh yeah, we're already way past Black Mirror. You know, Nosedive, that whole episode, way gone. The drone bees.
Oh yeah.
I'm sure that's a thing already. What else have we got here? From Over Easy Egg, artificial birth/breeding factories, human incubators are already in the works. Y'all should check it out. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. I've seen a video about that, and it was very strange indeed.
My thoughts are jail.
Yeah, right. I don't know how capable these labs are, or if they're just, you know, thought experiments. I know people are actively working on them. I don't know how far they've gone, but it's just, oh gosh, so weird. Mm. Alex Santea says, Amla, are you coming to Minnesota anytime soon to speak? Maybe you could bring Brett Cooper and to come speak with you. And for Taylor, I don't know how to read the Portuguese.
Você fala português, sim ou não?
What does that mean?
Do you speak Portuguese, yes or no?
Oh, yes,
sim,
he does.
Eu falo. Obrigado.
I love the voice that you take on when like all like people who speak Portuguese have that really like interesting cadence to their voice.
The long vowels, yes.
Yeah.
That's how it rolls.
And no, I will not be in Minnesota anytime soon that I can think of. I don't have any major trips planned. I have one dinner that Dennis and I are putting on together and speaking at, and I don't know where that is, but I will let you guys know as soon as I recall where that is. Jen McMahon says, happy 4 p.m. on a Friday from a fellow SoCaler. Happy Friday. Welcome, welcome. How are you feeling about living in SoCal? Because I'm over it. This girl was like, don't go to any restaurants on this specific street. I won't say the street, but like people are just getting robbed out in the open in broad daylight. Like somebody got robbed at 11:30 in the morning at gunpoint. And then a construction worker who was strapped shot the robber in the head.
Oh,
just right in front of everybody.
Why wouldn't you say the street? People need to know to avoid that.
Well, I can't say the street because I'm near the street. I can't say.
That's fair.
Okay. But yeah, I'm like, wow, that is insane. Lady Maverick 823, Arkansas here. To me, AI equals the rise of the machines. Deepfake and AI have already merged. The social topics are a distraction, and Skynet is already here. We've become complacent. Head to the forest ASAP. LOL. Get out of cities. Head to the forest. Is that the movement? Is that where this channel progresses? Imagine you guys check in with me in a year, and we've just created a commune, a self-sufficient commune.
This will be I'm in a suburb now, so I'm working my way out
inching,
there.
Yeah, he's just slowly inching his way out.
Yeah, we're going to go back to like a podcast via Morse code or something like that. Like that's what we're going to do.
Secure
I don't know
connection.
How you guys will send super chats. I don't know how we'll figure that out. Bueno Kitty says, Elon quote is from Forbes website in summer of 2019. Article online is called Elon Musk sees his Neuralink merging your brain with AI by Alex Knapp. Crazy his evolution, how he talks of AI now. Okay, so it was a little while back. Yeah. These things are very enticing and they seem very helpful, and they are very helpful. You just always have to question how far they could possibly go. And that...
We have one more from Autistic Reader. He said, okay. I think you missed my super chat about a movie. We're getting like 2001 movie AI with Haley Joel Osment.
2001?
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
Movie. Haley Joel Osment?
Before that,
that's
I thought...
Sixth Sense Kid.
AI?
I thought the person was going to... When I saw 2001, I thought they were going to talk about 2001 A Space Odyssey, Stanley Kubrick's, which is really interesting. And I didn't want to like bring it up or geek out about it. Within the movie, there's this object that mankind finds, and weirdly enough, it's literally in the shape of an iPhone, and it's like this weird, call it just alien UFO sort of thing on the moon, and it just like rolls into this whole story about AI with mankind and how AI ultimately betrays mankind for reasons it can only explain. So
what if AI is just really nice and it's never going to betray us, guys? And we've just fathomed up this fear of it betraying us. And we've put it in so many movies that we've just brought about our own demise.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, I have to watch all these AI movies. I don't ever watch AI scary movies. I've never been of interest to me.
I mean, it's Stanley Kubrick, so it's worth the watch if you enjoy movie making at all.
Right.
But it's quite odd. So it's a different
movie
viewing experience, but well worth it.
Fair enough. It is on the list. Earthborn Alien says AI equals game over, but thoughts on Vivek Ramaswamy? We don't endorse candidates. I know he's running for president currently, so I can't give you any sort of endorsement. I think Vivek's cool guy. I've interviewed him for a documentary that's going to be out soon called, I don't know if I can say what it's called because the name is workshopped, but so that's going to be coming out soon, and he's one of the features in said documentary. So yeah, very cool. Alex Santea says, do you think we will phase out humans with AI help? Nah, don't think so. I think there's always a stake in human existence, for the speciest at least. So I don't think we will phase out, hopefully.
That's the fear.
If anything, well, I'll be long dead before that happens, I hope. Gosh, don't put us on the fast track for that. It's Glock O'Clock. That's a funny name. Says H-A-L.
Hal.
Hal didn't betray in 2001. He was told to lie and panicked because he didn't know how. Is this some lore that I'm unaware of?
No. I get what Glock O'Clock's talking about.
Debate him, Scott.
Yeah.
You don't have to take that from Glock O'Clock.
No. To each his own, I guess, in this interpretation.
To each his own, Charlize their own.
Scott is our resident film expert. He went to film school and knows his stuff. So we went and saw, what was that movie?
Nope.
With the, and I watched it and I was like, oh, it's kind of cool. And then like he explained to me all the symbolism and everything that was going on. I was like,
Yeah, he completely broke it down. We didn't see any of that stuff. Dumb. Blake McNeese says, I Am Legend with Will Smith. That's another one apparently that I have to.
That's not an AI movie though. That was like a zombie movie.
Never mind.
One I think you would really enjoy watching is Ex Machina.
I've seen Ex Machina. I have seen that one. That one was very good. Yeah, the acting impeccable in that movie. It's really good. Yeah, I'll give him that. And that's worth a rewatch. I haven't watched that in a long time. Very, very long time. Guys, I think that's our show for today.
Did we have Wednesday super chats or did you already do
them? I read them. Yeah, there was only a few.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, thank you guys all for joining us for this very interesting conversation. Let me know how you feel about AI in the chat down below after the show. I did ask you guys on my YouTube community how you felt about AI, and I think you overwhelmingly said that you thought it was a dangerous entity or that it could be a dangerous entity. Yeah, 88% of you said yes, it is dangerous. 12% said no. So you guys have already told me how you feel for the most part. If you haven't yet, go and answer that poll. Leave a comment down below and leave a comment on the show down below about how you feel about this ever-evolving subject matter. We're going to be talking about this a lot. Also, sign up for my newsletter. The link's in the description down below. You'll get a little blurb from me every week on Friday, plus updates about all the content we've put out on the show and other projects that are being worked on here at PragerU. We got some shorts coming out of the weekend. We'll be back on Monday for a live show. Thank you all so much for watching. Can't wait to see you on Monday. Have a great weekend.